The music you want to hear. 95.1 Gem FM.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Jew's Gems on 95.1 Gem FM. On this quite calm Thursday morning after all the wins we've been having. Now we have our competition. Do you remember? It's $200 voucher from Buy Right and a $50 merch pack from Gem FM. Now you know what to do. You need to text me with your name, your name number, and most of you are from Bowen, on 0484 510 152 with my secret word, which is stories today, S-T-O-R-I-E-S, stories, because I usually love a good story. I also am very interested in history. So today I would like to delve into some. First, Eleanor of Aquitaine. To me, she was a very confusing figure in history, married to King Louis VII of France and the wife of King Henry II of England, mother of Richard the Lionheart and King John and Duchess of Aquitaine, with lots of myths and legends surrounding her. So I would like to try and untangle some of her story, make it clearer for me too, because she's been baffling me. Now, this is the story of Eleanor of Aquitaine. She had been the most desired woman in Europe since she was 15 years old, the heiress to Aquitaine, a vast, wealthy land across the south of France. When her father died, the teenage girl became the wealthiest unmarried woman on the continent overnight. Within months, she was married to the heir to the throne of France. 3 weeks later, her father-in-law died, and Eleanor became Queen of France. She was just 15. She bore King Louis VII 2 daughters. She rode with him on the Second Crusade into Constantinople and into Jerusalem. Now, medieval chroniclers were scandalized. A queen in the saddle, leading her own retinue of noblewomen. She was the talk of 3 continents. But 15 years of marriage produced no son. So in March of 1152, the Pope granted them an annulment. I wonder if it was them they granted or just the king who wanted it. Anyway, Eleanor was 30 by this stage. Once again, the wealthiest unmarried woman in Europe. 8 weeks later, she rode quietly to Poitiers and married a 19-year-old duke named Henry of Anjou. He was 11 years younger than her, bull-necked, freckled, and famous already across Europe for his ferocious temper. 2 years later, Henry became King of England, Henry II. Eleanor, who had once been Queen of France, was now Queen of England as well. Together, they built one of the largest empires medieval Europe has ever seen, from the Scottish border to the Pyrenees. She had 8 children. 5 sons. I wonder what Louis VII thought of that. A dynasty for 20 years, they were the most powerful couple in the Western world. And then it all began to come apart. Henry took a mistress. Her name was Rosamond Clifford. He flaunted her openly across the kingdoms. And what Eleanor was about to do in response would tear her family apart and change the future of England to forever. Now, I might have a break here and have a bit of music and then come back to see what else Eleanor has done. Today we're going to have Queen, and why not? I'm talking about 2 queens. So we've got Queen and Annie Lennox.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality. Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy. Because I'm easy come, easy go. Little high, little low. Any way the wind blows doesn't really matter to me. Mama, just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away. Mama, ooh, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again this time tomorrow, carry on, carry on, as if nothing really matters. Of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo Figaro.
Magnifico!
I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family. Spare him his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah.
Mamma mia,
mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me, for me, for me.
We'll be right back.
Thank you to Robert for texting in my secret word, which is stories, S-T-O-R-I-E-S, stories, and be in to win for a $200 gift voucher from Buyright, proudly donated by our sponsors, O'Brien Electrical, and plus a Gem FM merch pack worth $50, so pretty good prize there. Now, time to live it up in the Whitsundays at the Airlie Beach Festival of Music from the 6th to the 8th of November. And the way this year is moving so fast, November will be here before you can think about it. Enjoy more than 60 acts across 15 venues, including a main stage at the Whitsunday Sailing Club. Watch big name acts and discover new talent. To complete the 60-plus acts lineup at what is arguably Australia's most scenic music festival, they've got Mark Seymour from Hunters and Collectors, Conrad Sewell, Nathan Cavalieri, Luke O'Shea, and more joining the artists already announced, including Xavier Rudd, Mental as Anything, The Whitlams, and many more. With its laid-back atmosphere and short queues, the festival is all about enjoying the music. Ticket holders can bounce between intimate gigs in local pubs and the main seaside stage. This is the ultimate music holiday, a tropical escape and party in paradise. Visit the Airlie Beach Festival of Music website for a full lineup and tickets. Sounds like the best thing going this year anyway. Well, maybe not. I don't know everything going this year, but that sounds really good for November. Now back to Eleanor of Aquitaine. In 1173, the Queen of England rode out of France in the dead of night, desperately racing to reach her three rebel sons before her husband's knights could catch her. The husband whose knights were hunting her was King Henry II of England, and the Queen riding for her life was Eleanor of Aquitaine. After 21 years of marriage and building an empire together, she was now leading her own sons in armed rebellion against him. She was furious at Henry's infidelity and the way he treated their grown sons as children, refusing them any real power. Eleanor returned to her own land in Aquitaine. She gave her sons their own courts, and in the spring of 1173, three of them rose up against their father in open war. Eleanor gave them money, troops, and her name. It was treason. A queen funding an army to overthrow her own husband. When the rebellion began to collapse, she tried to escape to France. Before she could, though, Henry's knights caught up with her. Henry did not execute her. He locked Eleanor inside the walls of an English castle. She was 51, he was 40. She would spend the next 16 years in captivity, moved between castles across England. For 16 years, she watched her life pass through arrow slits. In 1183, her eldest son, Henry, the young king, fell ill with dysentery while still at war with his father. On his deathbed, he begged the king for one final mercy, not for himself, but for his mother. He pleaded with Henry II to release her. The king refused. Henry, the young king, died at 28. Eleanor was not allowed to come to his funeral. In July 1189, Henry II of England died at Chinon Castle in France. His last words were reportedly, "Shame, shame on a conquered king." Not quite sure what that means. The moment Richard the Lionheart was crowned, his very first act as King of England was to free his mother. Eleanor walked out of her prison at 67 years old, and the moment she walked out, she began to rule. She governed England as regent while Richard rode on the Third Crusade. She raised his ransom when he was captured returning home. And at 78, she still rode across the Pyrenees to arrange her granddaughter's marriage. She died on the 1st of April 1204. She was 82. She had outlived her husband. She had outlived 7 of her 10 children. And every English king for the next 300 years would be her descendant. Well, no wonder there is so much myth and legend about her. What an amazing woman. So, music now. I've got Under Pressure by Bowie and Queen. Check this out.
So slashed and torn.
Can we give ourselves one more chance? Why can't we give love our own? pressure. Pressure.
It's a kind of magic. It's a kind of magic. A kind of magic. One dream, one soul, one prize, one goal, one golden glance of what should be. It's a kind of magic. One shaft of light that shows the way.
Thank you to Pam for texting in the secret word, which is stories, S-T-O-R-I-E-S. And that's in to win the $200 gift voucher from Buyrite, donated by our sponsors, O'Brien Electrical, plus a Gem FM merch pack worth $50. Now, the Bowen Art Society is hosting a high tea next Saturday, which is the 27th, not this Saturday, but next one. It'll be at the Wangaratta Bowls Club in Maruna Street, and 2 to 4 in the afternoon. $35 a person. There'll be raffles, door prizes, glass of bubbly on arrival, bit of art on display and for sale, and, of course, the savouries, sandwiches and some cakes, as well as your tea. So you could make up a team or just come by yourself. If you go to the Bowen Art Society Facebook and DM on there for asking for information, we will be able to give you the bank details to put your money into, and or you could come to 20 William Street between 9 and 1 on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So hopefully we will see you all there. This should be a great time. Now, back to my stories. Now, I have always loved stories. I've already said that, especially ones about strong women. Now, this story I want to tell you about is one that I grew up with. Well, I knew about it as I was growing up. We called her Boadicea, Queen Boadicea, but the British call her Boudica. But I quite like Boadicea. That's what I grew up with, so I'm going with that. Now, it's a queen called Boadicea who defied the Romans. I'm thinking these stories are not well known nowadays, but these are just aren't just stories. They are part of our history, or British history. In 60 AD, the Roman Empire flogged a queen of Britain, dragged her into the street in front of her own people, assaulted her two daughters, and left her in the dirt. This was a big mistake. Her name was Boadicea, queen of the Iceni tribe in the east of Britain. Her husband, Prasuticus, had ruled under Roman authority. When he died, he left his kingdom jointly to his daughters and to Emperor Nero, a peace offering. Rome ignored it entirely. They seized the land and stripped the Iceni nobles of everything they own. Then they came for Boadicea. They flogged her publicly in front of her own people and assaulted her two daughters deliberately and brutally as a message. Rome's message was simple. You are nothing. Britain is ours, and there is nothing you can do about it. They were wrong. Boadicea rose, tall, red-haired, fierce-eyed, and with a voice that silenced a battlefield, and a fury that had been waiting for this moment her entire life. She united every tribe that had suffered under Roman rule and built an army of 230,000 warriors. They burned Camulodunum. These Italian names are a bit, Roman names are a bit hard to get my tongue around. But she burned it to the ground. Now, this had been the first capital of Roman Britain, which is now present-day Colchester, which is located in Essex. Then Londinium, which was the capital and largest city of Rome, Britain, now called London. She burned that to the ground. Then Verulamium was located at present-day St. Albans, Hertfordshire, originally the third largest city in Roman Britain. Three Roman cities gone in flames, 70,000 Romans dead. The Roman governor Suetonius raced back from Wales. Too late to save the cities, but not too late to fight. He gathered everything he had, 10,000 Roman soldiers against Boadicea's 230,000. He chose a battlefield, took his position, and waited. Boadicea climbed onto her chariot, rode along the line of her warriors, and gave the speech of her life. What happened when she finished changed Britain forever. And we'll get back to her in a minute. We'll have Killer Queen by Queen.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet. Let them eat cakes, she says, just like Marie Antoinette. A building, a remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy at any time.
complications. She never kept the same address. In conversation, she spoke just like a baroness. Little man, trying up and down to gauge her mind. Then again, incidentally, she knew that way. Love you came naturally from Paris. Naturally. Because she couldn't care less. Fastidious and precise.
She's a killer queen. Gunpowder, gelatine. Dynamite with a laser beam.
Guaranteed to blow your mind.
Love it.
Okay, come and play Winter Bingo at Wangaratta Bowls Club. Friday mornings at 9:30 a.m, commencing Friday the 1st of May through to the end of September. You have bingo payouts, jackpots, raffles, and lucky tickets. And free morning tea. That is at the Wangaratta Bowls Club, 12 to 14 Maruna Street, Queens Beach, Bowen. If you need to ring them, 478-51197. Now, I'd like to say thank you to Linda for texting in my secret word, which is stories, S-T-O-R-I-E-S, and that is texted in to 0484-510-152. Now, Boadicea, she had 230,000 warriors. You would think, wouldn't you, that this would be a walkover. Suetonius only had 10,000. But I think Suetonius was a army general who had fought for many, many years. Boadicea was just a furious queen. Now, the Romans had one advantage. He had chosen the ground, a narrow gorge, forest at his back, open plain in front. His 10,000 men could not be surrounded. You can tell by the moment what's going to happen, can't you? Boadicea's warriors had to come straight at them, all 230,000, through a gap barely wide enough to neutralise their numbers. The Britons were so certain of victory, their families had brought wagons to the edge of the battlefield to watch. Boadicea rode along her lines one last time, her daughters beside her. She spoke of her flogging, her daughters' suffering, Roman greed, Roman arrogance, Roman cruelty. She did not ask for victory. She demanded vengeance. The charge began. 230,000 warriors screaming, shaking the ground. The Romans did not move. They waited. They waited until the Britons were close enough to touch. Then they unleashed their javelins and advanced in a tight, disciplined, unstoppable wedge, driving straight into the heart of the British line. The line broke. The warriors fled straight back into their own wagons, trapped between the Roman advance and the semicircle of wagons their families had bought. The massacre lasted hours. When it was over, Tacitus recorded 80,000 Britons dead. Suetonius had lost 400 men. Boadicea looked at what remained and chose not to be taken alive. She took poison and died on British soil, undefeated in her fury, unconquered in her spirit. Her burial place has never been found. Some say she lies beneath the streets of the city she burned, the city we now call London, waiting. So I wonder what she's waiting for. Okay, have a little bit of David Bowie here.
Strung out on lasers and slash back blazers and ate all your razors while pulling the waders, talking about Monroe and walking on Snow White. New York's a go-go and everything tastes nice. Poor little greenie. Ooh. Get back on it. Gene Genie lives on his back. Like a reptile, she love him, but just for a short while. She'll scratch in the sand, let go his hand. He says he's a beautician, sells you nutrition, keeps all your dead hair for making up underwear. Poor little greenie. Loves chimney stacks. He's outrageous. He screams.
because you're mine. You better stop the things you do. I tell you, I ain't lying.
That was actually Annie Lennox with You'll Put a Spell on You. Now, there are quite a few stories from history about women who have been perfectly fine, peacefully living their life until some man or men have totally annoyed them. I was going to use a stronger word, but, you know, radio might not be appropriate. I'm sure you can fill any word in you prefer, though. And they have decided on vengeance, revenge, or whatever you want to call it. These two women went to war. Nowadays, we can't go to war in the same way, but, you know, women can be quite creative when we want to be. So don't annoy us indiscriminately. It's time for me to go now. My jam for today is, I hope there are days when your coffee tastes like magic, strangers make you smile, and the night sky touches your soul. I hope you fall in love with being alive again. That's it from me. I'll see you next week on 95.1 Gem FM, same place, same time, 10 o'clock on Thursday. So take care out there. And now I have Annie Lennox's version of What a Shade of Pale.
across the floor. I was feeling kind of seasick. The crowd called out for more. The room was humming harder.
I'm Tony Herbert, and you're listening to 95.1 Gem FM.